Let's pray. Father, thank you that we can come together, Lord, to worship you, to come into your presence. We thank you, God, for your presence here with us today, as you promised, Lord. Thank you, Lord, that as we open our heart and come into your presence, you always bless us because you are there. You never leave us nor forsake us. Thank you for your love. Thank you for your word. Thank you for Jesus. Thank you for your Holy Spirit that is with us to guide us into all truth. Praise the Lord. Let your word quicken us today that we may be able to receive it and apply to our word, our life. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. You know, the most important thing that we can always experience, the most important thing that God give us too, as you know, something that we need, is a relationship with Him. Our relationship with Him is the key for our life in general. Hallelujah. I want to today, you know, I've been dealing with this a bit in the last little while, but I want to, show some things, some ways for us to improve, to make stronger that relationship and that connection. Because on that basis, you know, we can have the greatest blessings that we can ever imagine. On that basis, we really are going to be empowered, transformed. Is His presence in us? But His presence in us depends on us more than anything else. Because God has done already everything that He could do to connect with us. It's not for us to ask Him to minister to us. It's for us to recognize that what we do determines how much He can minister to us. What He can do with us depends on our attitude, because He's always willing to connect. He's always willing to give more. And the limit that we put on Him is what determines where we are in this relationship. When we understand that, then we come to realize that if we want to improve it, if we want to make it better, if we want God to be more real to us, we can do things. We should do things. And what we do is the manifestation, or if you want, is the evidence of how much we care about it and how much we know about it. Because what we know is really important, is in the knowledge of Him, the way He functioned, the way He operated, that we can get closer to God. Because there was no one before and after that was closer to the Father than Jesus. And if we want to learn how to do that, we should become more and more like Him. We should learn from Him. We should see Him in operation, in action. Hallelujah. You know, in Isaiah 26:3 says really one of the key things that for us to understand. So you said, you will keep in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on you because he trusts in you. See, the bottom line, the fact that our mind is connected to the Father and is staying there, is, you know, permanently there, is dependent on our trust in Him. Because if we don't trust in Him, we will trust in other things. And what we generally, what naturally tend to do is we trust in ourselves more than Him. Because we think we have to look after ourselves. That's not going to get us anywhere. That's not going to help us to get connected with Him. One of the first things the people, that when the people are born again, the things that they should learn is that what happened is because they were born again because they trusted in Him rather than trusting in themselves. And from that moment on in their life, they should be taught to learn to depend on Him rather than depend on themselves. Are you reading what I'm saying? This is so important. See, that will produce perfect peace in us. And there in the Hebrews, peace, peace, they repeat it, shalom, shalom, you know, is the, you know, making it stronger, you know, stronger, greater, more powerful peace, the peace that overpasses everything. Because all the whole thing comes from our trust in Him. And because we trust in Him, we become dependent on Him. You know, the world is full of codependencies that have nothing to do with God. And that is just the problem. We have to learn to depend on God and to be codependent on Him. That's what He wants us to be. And that's going to give us peace. You know, looking after ourselves, our desires, our things, what we need, and so on, is really not going to never find satisfaction. Our satisfaction comes from connecting with Him. Because when we are connected with Him, there is fullness of joy. Because when we are connected with Him, He provides for all our needs. Because He is our shepherd and we shall not want. See, understanding how important is our relationship with Him. See, how important is this connection that we have with the Father. That's why He wants us to be connected, because that's the only way that He can minister to us in a way that is going to make our life much better. There is no better life than being connected with God. Praise the Lord. You know, there says, you know, that was mind, He stayed on Him. The word there in for mind in Hebrew is yetzer, which actually, you know, means, you know, mind, but frame, really, it comes frame. See, our mind frame our existence. It frame the way we see things. Another way to translate that is imagination. Our imagination is on Him, so we see things through Him. And that one makes all the difference. Okay. When, you know, the same word there, OF, is the same thing that is conformed to His word. What is given in Romans 12, 1 and 2. You know, we are not anymore, you know, conformed by the environment we are in, or the world, the way of thinking, the way of doing, and finally the way, you know, judging things and the way to act and do things. but instead is to see things the way God sees. And in that way, we are transformed by, because it happens through His Word, by that connection with Him. Connecting with God is connecting with His Word. It's not just an abstract theory. It's just an applied things to different things that we deal with as the Word ministers to us. Okay? And as we are doing that, you know, that forms us, transforms us, and we can know the will of God, the good, you know, acceptable and perfect will of God. Because why? Because we become more and more like Jesus. Praise the Lord. And then, you know, but the whole thing is connected in the following verses very clearly. Trust in the Lord forever, for the Lord God is the your everlasting strength. So this is where the strength comes. That's what, you know, when we feel weak, when we feel not up to it or anything, is because we are not connecting with Him. When you are connected with God, you have perfect peace. That means you got everything that you need. In His presence, there is fullness of joy. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. His everlasting strength that we receive. Okay. Now, you know, there is, to do that, you can see that it's applied to the way, you know, for our mind, our imagination, our thing being connected with Him. This is really the law of attention. It's a spiritual law that applies to us. Or maybe you can call it the law of focus. Okay. What we focus becomes big and strong in us. What we forget, or we don't think about, or we don't see, becomes weak and small. This is the normal things that happen. So when we look at God, we focus on God, we focus on His scripture, then God becomes powerful to us. The scripture becomes powerful and effective in our life. When we get caught up in the things we had to do, then God becomes small and these things become big. And we can end up being overwhelmed, because sometimes there are too many things that we can do or must do. Praise the Lord. See, there are many parts in the scripture, in the Bible, you know, showing us that. But really, one that explains it in detail is Proverbs chapter 4, verse 20 and following. It says, "My son, give attention, put focus, you know, look at that. My words. Incline your ear to my saying." So you listen, you meditate on it, you think about it. "Do not let them depart from your heart," from your eyes, sorry. Okay, so you keep looking at them. See, it's not a question of knowing the scriptures. Lots of people know the scripture are very weak, because it's just a mental thing. That when they want to remember them, they can even quote them back to you, but there is no, they are not part of their heart. You have to keep looking at them enough so that they, you know, are going to start becoming part of you, of your thinking processes. Okay? Just keep them in the midst of your heart. See, that's why, you know, what you keep in the midst of your heart is what you really care for. Know that they are so important that you spend time connected with them, even when you do other things. You can do physical things around the house, and you can drive the car, you can take a walk, and you let the Word minister to you, and they're going to be operating and producing changes inside you and ministering life. That's what it says the following verse. Okay. For they are life to those who find them, and health to all your flesh. So you need healing? That's the way you go about it. You stay in the Word. You let the Word minister to you. You meditate on it. For out of it, you know, Altonia, for with your heart, no, sorry, keep your heart with all diligence. For out of it comes the issues of life. Okay. So you had to look what's going on inside you. And you had to monitor it. That's what it's telling us. Making sure that it's directed to the right things. That means the Word. That means God. That he stayed in him. And what is going to happen, okay, is with all diligence, not just when you remember. That's the thing that you have to be, you know, you go in a place and if you're caught up in what's going on there, you may not may miss the things that actually God is revealing to your heart and is going to, you know, get out of there or do this here, this needed. That's the way God ministered to you. It says, for out of it, out of your heart, spring the issues of life. The issue there, it could be almost the boundaries, the limit, what you actually can do. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. You see, it's not a question of information that we need to have. Okay. Now you are informed, but you had to do it. You had to actually do this. You see, unless we do the Word, unless we are doers of the words, we are deceiving ourselves. Why are deceiving ourselves? Because we think we got something that we haven't got. Only when we start implementing the Word in our life, then we are going to see results. Then we're going to see the effect. Okay? We are going to see what coming up inside. Life and health, strength, the ability to cope with our situations. Hallelujah. See, trusting in the Lord is the basis of that. Because we trust the Lord, we depend on him, and we know that by going to the Word, we connect with God. God's Word is the power of God to us. This is going to be manifested. Hallelujah. It's the basis for our connection with him. Without the Word, we cannot really connect with God just on an emotional basis. Those things are going to go up and down and everywhere because your thoughts are going to be caught up one way or another and are going to go in all directions. Praise the Lord. You know, in Psalm 37, verse 3 says, trust in the Lord. See, that concept, that idea to trust, that means, you know, trust in the Lord more than what you trust, you give value to. Okay? What you don't trust is not important to you. But if you trust the Lord and become your first priority, the highest value that you have in your life has to be your relationship with the Lord. This comes through, that's the first commandment. Love the Lord with all your heart, with all your mind, with all your strength, everything you got. Okay. That's what makes the difference. And there is a reason why it's the first commandment, because it's the most important, it's the critical, the basic one. It's what is going to produce the biggest result. You know, people try to do things for God, when instead, you know, the thing that they should do is, like Mary, be at his feet. Instead of Martha getting busy and telling God what to do. Don't we do that sometime? We know better? He knows better. If you connect with him, he's going to really take you in the right place, put you into the right, you know, provide for what you need. Hallelujah. So trust the Lord and do good. Dwell in the land that He has prepared for you. Feed on His faithfulness. You know, there is a lot there, and I'm going to expand on that there. You know, then God says, delight yourself also in the Lord, and He shall give you the desires of your heart. Hallelujah. I mean, that's a big promise. Now, lots of people take that promise and distort it according to the flesh. Okay? Well, God is going to do what I want. That's not what He's saying. He's saying when you trust the Lord completely, His desires for you becomes your desire. And so you want the right thing because your heart is lining up with His heart. Okay? And so, you know, but it all comes from the beginning, that is trusting Him. If you don't trust somebody, you are not going to get very close to that person. But when you trust somebody, then you open up, you listen, and the person can minister to you, can do something for you. Praise the Lord. And that continues there on the same thing. You know, He will give you the desires of your heart. Well, the desires that He's going to satisfy are desires that are not going to, they're going to be fulfilling you. They're not, you know, the desires of the flesh, the more you get and the more you want, they never satisfy you. Praise the Lord. He say, goes on verse 5, commit your way to the Lord, trust also in Him. I mean, just keep trusting. And all the Bible, you know, God is faithful. Okay? Because God is faithful, you can trust Him. If God is not faithful, if you don't consider God faithful, you are not going to trust God. Your attitude shows what you really, the way you really see God. If you don't trust God above everything else, that means there are other things you trust God for. Well, not God, but trust other things for. Are your God, essentially. Praise the Lord. Okay. Praise the Lord. You know, commit your way to the Lord, trust also in Him, and He shall bring it to pass. You see, because He's faithful. Because you can trust Him. Hallelujah. Okay. See, there is the other side of the story. Okay. That what God can do for us is limited by what we actually trust Him with. It may not seem contradictory, but that is exactly the way it is. That's what, you know, because if we trust in God and we have circumstances that are not very favorable, we give them to God and God is going to guide us into the solution. But if we trust not in God, but trust in ourselves or some other people and try to find a solution, what happens is that we end up following this other direction. And God cannot do anything because you are actually not trusting Him. Praise the Lord. See, that's what the children of Israel did when they were in the desert. They did not have a relationship with God. Moses did, but they did not. They had second-hand relationship with God. You tell Moses, you talk to God, tell us what to do. That's not a relationship. Okay. We need to have a personal, that's what He wants. Okay. And this is why, you know, they, you know, in Psalm 78, verse 40 and following, you know, says talking about that they provoked Him in the wilderness and grieved Him in the desert. They tempted Him and limited the Holy One of Israel. See, our position has the power to block, to stop God from ministering to us because God respects our position. Praise the Lord, there is much more there, and I'm not going to go into that. The point is, you know, when we believe Him, then when He tells us something, we end up doing. But that's not what the children of Israel did. when they sent spies to see in the land they were going to come, would they believe the spies that were said, oh, you know, they're like, we are like grasshopper, they are like giants, they are going to eat us up. When instead God says, go and take the land. And so, you know, because they didn't trust, you know, God, they didn't follow through. They died in the desert. But the one that believed him, you know, they came back, the spy that came back, Joshua and Caleb, you know, they said, no, no, God said, go and take the land. We can certainly do it. Is that our attitude concerning the things when we are facing ourselves, a situation we had to go in and address it? Or is the one said, well, I can do it. Let's find out something. No, God said, we can do it. We can do it. That's where the starting has to be. That's where the belief has to be. That's what means that we have to reject the spies that tells us the lies of the enemy. It keeps us out of our land, promised land. Hallelujah. This is why, you know, our blessings, the blessing that we are going to get from God, depends on our position or our trust in him. Trust in him with all your heart and lean not in your own understanding. In all your way, acknowledge him and he will direct your path. Do you believe that he's going to direct your path, or do you believe that you have to go and see on Google how to do? Well, that's what many people do, don't they? And they end up being confused because Google doesn't know everything. Amen. And what he does is often distorted or crooked, the way the Bible calls it. Okay? So, hallelujah. Now, you know, the Bible gives us warning about this. This is why I believe that when somebody is born again, the first things that they should be learned is that they should start trusting God, not just for their salvation, but for everything in their life. Because if they do that, they are going to avoid lots of problems. I read what I said. You're going to avoid lots of problems if you start trusting God. And even if you are wrong in getting from God, he's going to correct you and fix it. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. See, one of the things that we had to remember, what God says. I mean, remembering our connection with God, remembering the scripture, not just knowing them so that we can memorize them and spew them out when we want to. That they are there and they are activated by the Holy Spirit when we need to know them. He is the one that brings us to our remembrance, what he said. That's his job. But if we haven't planted it there, it doesn't have anything to pull out, and we don't trust him. You see, that's the trust is the connection between the Word and the Holy Spirit to give you the information that you need when you need it. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. See, in the Old Testament, they were everything physical. Everything was. And so, you know, what did they do? They established memorials. What were memorials? Oh, it could be different things. You know, God did something to you, ministered to you supernaturally, and you knew it. So, you know, in the place where that took place, we make a pile of stones. Well, the time you pass by there, oh, you remember. Oh, you know, if you don't pass there all the time, it doesn't work very well. There are many scriptures that talks about making, you know, other times, okay, like the traditional church does. Okay, there are days of the year that are associated with something spiritual, supposedly. Okay, well, you know, in Exodus chapter 12, verse 14 says, so this day shall be to you a memorial, and you shall keep it, you know, for as the feast of the Lord. So, you know, so you are going to remember what he did at that particular time, for example, the Passover or some of the other things. And we do that even, you know, Easter and Christmas and so on. Okay. But it's very, you know, once a year, big deal. The Holy Spirit can pull up from your heart things that you planted and took root there any moment that you need it. Because you don't need to wait to Easter to if you need to be healed, because, you know, to remember that Jesus was died for your sin and is producing, you know, in the atonement there is a healing. You get sick, that's the time when you need it. All right? So, you know, that's the Holy Spirit work. You know, he's not just going to remember, you know, he's going to activate the scripture inside you and say, no, wait a minute, I'm not going to take this. As soon as something starts to come up, you see, you know, stop right there and bring the word to work for you. Pull it up from inside your spirit into your mind and let it start to work in your mind and in your body. Amen? Okay, so, you know, for blessings, you know, we can create memorials. And that's fine. I mean, sometimes, you know, in another place, let me see where I have it here, you know, you write it down, okay, on your book. So, really, that's a really a good thing to do. You know, have a diary in which you describe all your interaction with God. All the things that God did, all the dreams that he gave to you, and so on. Why is it so good? Because you should, you know, if you have a book and keep it there, you never look at it, doesn't do any good. You're wasting your time. You have to look at it. Keep looking at it. Each time you look at it, you remember it, and that experience comes back to you, and it's reinforced inside you. Another way for a memorial is to share a testimony. Each time you share something that God did to you, you go back to the same place, and that reinforces your relationship with you, because at the moment you are blessed, and you are blessed again, and you become more and more blessed so that you understand better and better what took place. That's why, you know, some people don't like, you know, they're private, they don't want to share a testimony. I really think, you know, that's really missing the boat. You should put out your testimony all the time, or all the testimony, whatever God's to do, go around telling everybody. If there is really an impact, you go and tell everybody, because it makes you happy. And not only makes you happy, but strengthen your relationship with him. Because the thing becomes more and more real. I remember, you know, anytime I share some of the things happened to me with God, first of all, they become, it's like I was at that moment. It just, I have the same feeling, the same emotions, and the same, you know, God touches my heart again, but doesn't stop there. Sometime I can see things that I didn't see at the moment. And sometimes happen a long time after. And the same thing with dreams. Write them down. You know, I get so blessed when I go back and I see some of the dreams I've forgotten. So look at that. That's really great and blesses me and, you know, reinforces my connection, my relationship with God, because these are events on that relationship where God was active and working and producing things and changes, supernatural changes in my life. Are you following me? There are so many ways. See, Peter in the epistles, you know, there are many places, you know, it keeps repeating, I bring you to your remembrance, to your remembrance, so that you remember, you know, remembering what the way God has dealt with, remember where we coming from and where we are now, remembering all these things makes all the difference. Praise the Lord. Are you following what I'm saying? You know, pile of stones and altars and so on don't do very much. But when we have the memory, you know, fixed in us, what God did, the understanding that goes with it, and the blessing that continues to manifest in us, makes us, our relationship with God, much more real. We can become grateful all the time. Okay. Say, well, okay, what about the promises? Well, see, the promises is something that maybe we haven't received. Maybe we received them sometime, so they can be some of the experiences we had. But even the promise, even what we may be wanting to see manifested and we have not manifested yet, you know, just remembering those things makes a difference. You know, Jesus knew the promise concerning him, that he was going to be resurrected, that he was going to die and be resurrected. And, you know, he had to go through the hard time to get to the other side. And he knew exactly what to do. In Hebrews chapter 12, verse 3 says, looking unto Jesus, that's the way we can learn to see and use the promises for us so that they become already a memorial, a pointing, something pointing us to the solution. Okay, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who, for the joy that was set before him, endured the cross, despising the shame, and has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Are you hearing what he's saying here for us? You see, you look the way he did it. For the joy that was set before him, he knew what was going to happen. He saw the end from the beginning, before the beginning. And so he was ready for that. And he looked at that. And he was despised the shame. You know, the word despise there, you know, it means really minimizing or disesteeming. It's the opposite of esteeming. It's the opposite of valuing. Okay? He didn't give any value to the things he had to go through. He minimized the thing. Sometimes he had to go through things. And we make those things that were, because are that difficult, hard, and we just have focused on our circumstances, the thing we focus on. And we see the answer far away. Thinking, you know, when are you going to do, God? Well, sorry, that's the wrong way. That's the way that we are keeping it away. What we had to do instead is to focus on the final answer the way Jesus did. Despising the thing we go through, minimizing them. As we look at God, actually, we get the strength to deal with the situations that we are in that is difficult, to help us through until we get there. And if instead of focusing on it, by which we give the power to it over us, we start believing in the promises and we just forget about the things as much as possible. You know, Abraham, what did he do? He just, you know, did not consider his own body already dead because he was 100 years old. He did not consider it. That is despising it. I mean, he wasn't making a big deal. Oh, you know, this is difficult to do. Nobody, you know, I should not be able to do that. God can do everything. All things are possible. We have to start believing that. Let's say it together. All things are possible. Okay, and that means, you know, the things are not even possible naturally. They are possible with God. Because God is supernatural. He's not just natural. I mean, arms stretching, fingers growing where they weren't before, organs sometimes being there. They're being removed. Oh, that's difficult. No, nothing is difficult with God. When we focus on Him. Are you with me? See, we can learn, okay, with, you know, following the example of those before us. Abraham is really called the father of faith because from him we can learn lots of things about how to walk by faith. And he didn't have it all together. That's why it took him 25 years to get there. The point is, you know, that we had to learn, okay, to look unto Jesus. He is the author and finisher of our faith. So we had to learn to trust in what he has done. If he did it, God is faithful, was faithful with him. I mean, he had to believe that he was going to die and he was resurrected. But not only that, he had to believe that he too was going to take all the sins of the whole world, so he was going to be separated from the Father. I believed, I'm convinced, that was the toughest thing for him to face and to have to deal with. Because from eternity, he was always in communion with the Father. The physical things was bad from a physical point of view, but was nothing compared to the other. He became sin for us. 2 Corinthians 5:21. He became sin for us so that we may become the righteousness of God in him. What we got out of his sacrifice, you know, he saw that. He saw the result of that. He saw the glory that was going to be produced by what we're going through. So he went through that. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. So one of the things that we can do, okay, imitating. I'm showing you some of the things we can do physically that are actually steps that we can take out of believing what the word says. Okay? They're going to produce what? An improvement, a strengthening, an enhancing of our relationship with God and with it. Not just that, but everything that enables us to connect with God and have a life that he wants us to have. And this is, you know, given here in, for example, in Romans 4, chapter verse 20, says about Abraham. He did not waver at the promise of God to unbelief. Okay, but was strengthened in faith, giving glory to God. Or having given glory to God. Okay, so how you do that? You give glory to God. How do you give glory to God? What does it mean to give glory to God? Well, give glory means to magnify, to make it big. You look at it, you focus on it, okay? To value, to consider really important in your life, to exalt it, to praise it, okay? Being thankful for it, thankful for his blessing, thankful for his promises. So you start expressing this feelings and this attitude toward what God has done for you, has done in the world for others, has done in general, is making available to you. And so you start praising God, start glorifying him. Sometimes that's the best way to break through when you are banging against the wall and doesn't seem you're making any progress. See, because as you're praising God, what you're doing is choosing to trust him, through choosing to believe him. If you get emotional about trusting God, you forget being the emotions that you have for the other things. Hello? And sometimes we have to forget the other stuff to be able to remember. You see, it's like a teeter-totter. One goes up, the other goes down. You look at your circumstances. God goes down. You start keeping looking at God and praising Him, and you see the things go. And when it goes down all the way, you're not there anymore. Are you with me? See, that means, you know, was strengthened in faith. You want to strengthen your faith? What can you do to strengthen your faith? Start praising the Lord. I mean, first, go into the Word, study there. And then, from the Word, see all the things that God has done to you. See all the things they experience. And just start praising the Lord for all those things that you can, anything that you can find about to praise the Lord, just pull it out and shout it out. You know, if you haven't done that before, try it. And you will see how well it works. We had to get things out of our chest, out in the open, and just let. God doesn't need to us to say anything. We need it ourselves. We need to hear it. It's by hearing that it works. It's by saying that you get your body involved in that reality. Hallelujah. See, when we don't focus on the scripture, we don't focus on the word, we forget them. So, circumstances up. God's presence down. You don't feel God's anointing, God's power in you? That's the problem. So, you have the tools, you have the ability to change all the attitude that you have by doing some of the right things that are expressed in the Bible to help you to change your situation, to change your circumstances. Hallelujah. In Psalm 103, okay, Psalm 103 is all about the love of God toward us. If you really study it, meditate on it, helps you enormously. Okay. But they start there with David saying, bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, all that is within me, not just a little bit. Everything I got, I'm praising the Lord, blessing Him. And we're not just, I'm blessing the Lord, you know. No, just exuberant blessing coming out of your mouth. Bless His holy name. So start blessing His name. Bless the Lord, all your soul, my soul, and forget not all His benefits. Even your benefit, you can bring it up. Okay? Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. See, the blessing, talking about blessing, what you're doing is giving glory to God. It's as you give glory to God, our faith indicator goes up. Okay? So, bless the Lord and forget not all His benefits. Hallelujah. Who forgives all your iniquities. So you can do it personal. You forgive all my iniquities, all the things I did wrong. You see, but you step on the forgiveness, not the iniquities. They are gone. They are forgiven. They are taken off. Okay. Who crown, who heals all my diseases. Hallelujah. And you start receiving that. Who redeemed my life from destruction, who crowned me with loving kindness and tender mercy, who satisfied my mouth with good things so that my youth is renewed like the eagle. Hallelujah. You see, this is really, okay, what you do is you are in His presence. And it talks about the whole things, talks about the people, you know, all the blessing that the Lord gives to those who fear the Lord. And He's not talking about fear that are afraid of Him. He's the one that are reverent toward Him, the one that are loving Him, the one that have Him as a high value. Okay? Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Well, there is all a long thing about how we mess up our relationship with God and how we can improve it. And essentially, there is a critical step. There are four steps. I don't have the time to talk about that. You had to come next week. No, it's not next week, the week after. Because really understanding that, if somebody backslided, backslide, is because that person did certain things. If you know the things that you did to mess it up, you can correct those things and you can get back with God. Because one of the things that you have to understand, God loves us. And he's always ready to take us back. And he doesn't take much. He does it instantaneously, the very moment we make the decision. The problem often we have is that we don't forgive ourselves. Or we don't believe that he's so quick to forgive us. And so, because we are slow spiritually in understanding, we don't get anywhere. God loves us, and his gifts and calling are without repentance. That's something that goes completely against the grain for us. We're going to talk about that next week. Amen? Amen. Praise the Lord. Well, let's pray that once we know the things we can do, we are going to do them. Because, nobody stops us except being lazy or being distracted by the enemy. So let's not be distracted and let's be instead benefit from what the scripture says. And let's pray together. It's a decision we had to make, you see. It's a decision we make about trusting God and applying his ways for us to turn things around. No matter what we need. If we are stuck someplace, in any place, spiritually or physically, that's the way it's going to change it. Okay? We can build up our faith to break through. So let's pray, Father. Thank you for your word. And your love for being always ready to take us back and to help us to break through. We thank you for your word, for it shows us what we can do to change our situations, to change the level of our faith, to change our relationship with you, the Lord, we may be sensitive to where we are in our relationship with you and may want to strengthen that relationship so that we may walk as Jesus walked with you. Thank you, because we believe that it is possible for us to grow in our relationship with you and to love you more, to grow in loving you and making you the highest value in our life. And thank you for wanting this relationship with us. Thank you, Father. And thank you, Jesus, that you made it possible. And we pray for that. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Praise the Lord.